This week, in part 3 of The Anatomy of Anger, we'll explore the nature of resentments and some specific coping strategies, including the practice of patience. Finally, some tips for dealing skillfully with another's angry energy. Resentments are simply stuck anger, feelings we continue to hold on to rather than release and let go of. Resentment is drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's destructive to our own well-being. A regular resentment flush is useful. Think of someone for whom you have a lot of resentment charge. Then write at the top of the page the two words, "I resent." With some no-edit, let-it-go hand-storming, write out what you are holding against this person. Burn the list or dispose of it in some ceremonial way. You might also visualize puffs of red resentments being released, especially during body work of any kind. Forgiveness may not yet be ready to blossom, but regularly touching and flushing out resentments is a healing process in itself. How to cope with our angry energy? Angry energy wants to dissipate. We need to get it out of our bodies. We might talk it out, exercise it out, dance it out, write it out, art it out, but it needs to be released in ways that are not destructive to ourselves or others. With time and attention, we can find what strategies work best for us. We can also consciously practice patience, beginning with the opportunity to notice our slightest irritation and then do something different. Presence is the essence of patience, supported by loving kindness towards the situation, a willingness to stay with what is rather than demanding what we want it to be. Finding something to appreciate in the moment, right here, right now, can often nip our impatience before its thorny presence invades our calm. Many times, our impatience is based on an entitlement worldview that demands our needs be met immediately. Traffic jam, long supermarket line, car, home, or electronic breakdowns are all examples where we can name our entitlement expectations and then instead focus on finding something we can appreciate in the moment. That an abundance of food is available to us, or that we normally have amazing transport or information capabilities. A moment of patience and a moment of irritation can prevent many future moments of distress. Three other useful tools to deal with rising anger include timeout, the reframe, and silent whining. Timeout consists of 5 basic steps and needs to be agreed upon beforehand with loved ones. First, we realize that emotions are rising. We may feel scared, notice our voices are louder, or we are both increasingly upset. Second, one of us calls a timeout, using the referee sign of the T as a nonverbal signal and mutual contract with each other. Third, we let the other person go, restraining from a final word, a slam door, or other additional outburst. This is the hardest step. Ideally, we get far enough away from each other to not see or hear the other. Fourth, we do our own self-care and calming. Thought stopping is useful, consciously ceasing our own brooding. Mild exercise may be helpful, as can trying to see the other's viewpoint. Finally, we come back together and verbally reaffirm we are interested in finding a solution rather than blaming or being right. We each make some simple statement about our contribution to the problem. If either party cannot do this, then another timeout is needed. Another very effective practice to deal with challenging emotional states is what I call the reframe. A reframe involves transforming the spiral of negative emotions by using our creative imagination, an adult version of childhood let's pretend. Whenever we notice a difficult state arising, we can pause and fashion a different perspective. Using this simple technique, we invent a different perception of reality moment to moment. We might visualize and press a giant delete button in the palm of our hand to get rid of an unpleasant experience or personal interaction. We can imagine an erase cloud to eliminate an unskillful action or hurtful words directed at us. I was going out to dinner once with an older, long-lost friend and very much looking forward to a quiet catching up and having a great conversation. We ended up getting seated, after a long wait, next to a fussy, crying baby. Normally, I would offer to work my baby magic, but this time I could feel myself getting tense and irritated instead. My friend noticed, leaned over, and said, "Let's pretend we're on a different planet where babies are held in very high esteem, and being seated near one is a great honor. And if they are strongly emoting, even better, because they are releasing negative energy for everyone in the vicinity." We then went on to imagine all sorts of interesting details about the planet and how it was different from ours. It was a great lesson in the art of the reframe. I've also field-tested the idea of silent whining many times. I find a mirror and then whine silently to myself about all the details of why I am irritated or angry, complete with exasperated facial expressions and hand gestures. The whole process is so ridiculous that I almost always end up laughing or smiling. Finally, point number 12, how does one respond skillfully to someone else's angry energy? People we find difficult can be great teachers, and we can be thankful for their presence in our lives. Realize that when someone is blaming us, they are just trying to discharge their own pain and discomfort, and may not be doing it skillfully when caught up in their own conditioned, angry reactions. Anger is an unskillful way to create boundary or establish connection, which is what they may actually be trying to do, and understanding these needs can be helpful. With an angry stranger, there are also specific martial strategies to remain physically safe, beyond the scope of this discussion. When anyone is emotionally dumping their garbage, I just need to give space, both emotionally and physically, and not have it land on me. The angrier that two people are at each other, the more distance they need to have separating them for safety reasons. The next useful idea is that I need not get hooked myself. Two people out of control with their emotions definitely can't successfully problem solve. And often the angry person will bait me, try to trigger me, because they want me to join them in their dance of temporary insanity. A la Star Trek, shields up and open a channel. An imaginary barrier protects me, especially from getting triggered in return, as I still attempt to communicate and stay connected. By this, I don't mean becoming similarly emotionally engaged, but rather letting them know I get that they are angry and I'm still here. I can see them as a hurt child in that moment and gently inquire what they need to feel better, which puts them into solution rather than dumping mode. I can only do this if I first successfully kept my own center. I can also make requests. Would you be willing to please lower your voice? Can you take some deep breaths so we can discuss this? Our requests encourage and support their own process of self-regulation. I hope these 12 aspects of the anatomy of anger have been useful. Now it's time to practice, practice, practice.